بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين All praise is due to Allah and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad peace be upon him and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do thank Allah azza wa jal for enabling us to gather tonight on this act of obedience where we learn about religion. And this is, as a scholar said, the best in which a human being could spend his breath in. So this is the best time you spread your breath in is when you attend religious classes to learn about Islam. We are explaining the 99 perfect names of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we chose to do so for a reason, to fall under the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 perfect names, 100 minus 1. Whoever memorizes them and understands their meaning will be admitted into paradise. We have explained so far 60 names and will continue tonight insha'Allah azza wa jal explaining more. The following perfect name of Allah Azza wa Jal would like to explain is the name Al-Muhyi. Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Muhyi, and it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the dead mixture of seminal liquid from the man and the woman into life. Now, the sperm of the man is not a living thing, as some falsely claim. It's something dead. It's not something alive. It's not as some modern people claim that it is a worm. It's not like this. It's not like an insect. It's not like an animal. It's something dead. It's a liquid. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His power, when both seminal liquid comes together, they form a mixture. This is called nutfa. It doesn't have any soul in it. But this nutfa, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for it to be fertilized and to be active, it will continue to be in that stage for 40 days. Then it turns into alaqa. Alaqa is like blood clot. And it continues to be in that stage for another 40 days until it becomes mudgha. Mudgha, it's similar to a bite in the size of a bite. That's why it is called mudgha. Then the angel will be sent, so that's upon the completion of 120 days, so 4 months. And the angel will form the fetus inside the womb of the woman based on the orders. He will be given the order to shape it as a baby boy or a baby girl, and to blow this soul in it. And also he will be ordered with 4 words to write down his sustenance, his lifespan, his deeds, and his ending, whether he's going to die as a believer or as a non-believer. So these four matters will be written down while one is still inside the womb of his mother. So no matter how much you strive in this life to get more sustenance, you will not be able to get more than what Allah predestined for you. So you might think that if I work double shift, I can get more. If I work on weekends, I can get more. In the end, no matter how much you strive, you can only get what has been predestined for you. So you do your work in this life, but you need to know that these matters are already or have been already been written for you, your sustenance, your lifespan, your deeds, and your ending, whether you're going to die as a believer or as a non-believer. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those who die as righteous believers. So how does a human being start? From what form? From that mixture of both seminal liquid. So this is in contrary to the false claims of some modern biologists who claim that there is no such a thing as a seminal liquid for the lady. This is not true. In Islam, we know both have seminal liquid. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, يَخْرُجُ مِن بَيْنِ الصُّلْبِ وَالتَّرَائِبِ, meaning this is how the fetus is formed, from the mixture of both seminal liquid. The sperm of the man comes down from his back, and the one for the woman, the seminal liquid for the woman, comes from the rib bones. So when having intercourse, those liquids come together. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for fertilization to take place, they will come together and they become what we call nutfa, that mixture. Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِن نُطُفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ, from that nutfa, from that mixture of both liquids, that's the beginning of the human being. So it's not as they claim, it's like a worm, an insect, or an animal, or whatever they call it. They believe it's something with a soul, there is nothing from that in it. It's like a liquid. Now some might believe, which is wrong, that it's a living thing based on the fact that it runs through the uterus of the woman. But that's not enough evidence to call it a living thing for that reason. Because if you know this element that is called mercury, you know, with the one that they put in thermometer and the like, that silver substance, if you put it on the table, you see it moving. So it moves, it runs, although it's not a living thing. So the case that the sperm runs to the uterus of the woman, that doesn't mean it's a living thing. It's not a worm, it's not an insect, it's not anything else that has a soul. It's a dead thing. It's a dead thing. Allah Ta'ala said, يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala originates a living thing from that dead sperm. So it's something that has no soul, something that is not a living thing. يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ Allah originates a living human being from what? From the dead sperm. So it's not a living thing as they claim. And in this ayah that I've mentioned already, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ We have created mankind مِن نُطُفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ From that mixture of both liquids, the one for the man and the one for the woman. When they come together, if fertilization is predestined for that case in that time, they will come together and they form that nutfa, then it develops in the womb into a alaqa, then into a mudra, then the soul will be blown into that fetus, and that when the fetus becomes a living thing. That when the fetus becomes a living thing. In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, narrated by Al-Bukhari and others, many others narrated the hadith as well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about the fact when the lady will have a baby boy and when she will have a baby girl. And what's the reason behind giving birth to a baby that looks like his father more than his mother and vice versa? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained the reason in the hadith, and that's definitely a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of human beings. Allah is the creator of the babies in the wombs. So Allah is the creator of the sperm and these liquids inside the womb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about them more than those biologists who try to figure out how this is happening and what's the reason behind it. So the Prophet mentioned that to the companions and basically to this nation, that if the seminal liquid of the man was stronger at the time of fertilization than that of the woman, then she will have a baby boy. And if at the time of fertilization the liquid of the woman was to be found stronger than that of the man, she will carry a baby girl. And same principle and same concept applies to the resemblance. When you say the baby resembles his father more than his mother and vice versa. So that's even mentioned in the hadith. And that was mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than 1400 years. So for more than 1400 years, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam already talked about this. This is a true revelation from Allah azza wa jal. So this is how it is. This is how the baby is formed inside the womb. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from this dead sperm and that mixture of both seminal liquid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates a living human being. So that's the meaning of al-muhyi, the one who revives from this dead sperm a living human being. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quickens, meaning brings back to life, the decayed bodies on the day of resurrection. Even if the body completely decays in the grave and nothing remains from it except for that little piece of bone at the end of the tailbone of a human being known as Ajbu Zanab, because this one does not perish no matter what. So even when they do cremation and they burn the body, this little one doesn't get burnt, doesn't decay. Now from it, the skeleton of a human being was structured on, and on the day for judgment, he will be restructured on it as well. So that's a beginning point. On the day for judgment on it, the skeleton will be restructured, then will be covered with the flesh, the person will have his body back, and then the soul will come back to the body, and then they come out of their graves. That's the day of resurrection. So Allah is Al-Muhyi, Allah is the one who originates from the dead mixture of both semen and liquid that has no soul and no life in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a living human being. And on the day for judgment, Allah brings back to life the decayed bodies on the day of resurrection. So that's the meaning of Al-Muhyi. So this is a belief of Muslims. We believe in resurrection. When one of the non-believers came to the Prophet, and his name was Al-As ibn Wa'il, having decayed bones in his hands, he started crushing them, and he said to the Prophet, "Does your Lord resurrect these bones after they have decayed?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Yes, Allah resurrects them, and resurrects you, then will admit you into hellfire." Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew through the revelation that this person will not embrace Islam and he will die as a non-believer. They couldn't comprehend how these decayed bones will be reformed on the day of judgment in their original form. And subhanallah, Allah gave them a very simple example and proof about resurrection in this ayah, كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُهُ. As we originated the beginning of the human being, we can resurrect it. And resurrecting what once upon a time existed by concept is easier than originating it from nothing. So those who couldn't believe in resurrection by looking at the decayed bones, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them to ponder about the beginning of the formation of this human being. Allah is the one who originated the formation of this human being. Allah is able to resurrect that person on Judgment Day and brings his body back to life after it had been decayed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Muhyi. And Allah azza wa jal gave some examples about this in the Quran, about the people of the cave, and we talked about this before, and also about one of the righteous Muslims from the followers of Prophet Moses alayhi salam called Uzair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inflicted death upon him and he died. Then Allah revived him, quickened him, brought him back to life after 100 years. And his story is mentioned in the Quran, that when he went to Jerusalem and he had his donkey and his food with him, he went to Jerusalem and there was a king that came to Jerusalem and destroyed the whole land of Jerusalem. He didn't leave one brick on top of another to that extent. And he destroyed the whole city of Jerusalem at that time. And he killed many people. And he destroyed the books of Torah that was revealed to Prophet Moses, and they had some copies and they were destroyed. This person, righteous person, Uzair, was a righteous person, a follower of Prophet Moses alayhi salam. He memorized the whole Torah off by heart. So when he looked at the city of Jerusalem and what happened to it, he was in shock. He was in shock. And he said, in an astonishing way, not objection or doubting, as being amazed and shocked, how would Allah revive this city after it has been completely destroyed? So he was exclaiming, not objecting or doubting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inflicted death upon him and upon his donkey as well that he was riding, and his food was next to him. He died and remained dead for 100 years. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him back to life after 100 years. And he was asked, for how long you have been in that situation? He looked at his food. The food did not change, did not rot. So basically, when he finds that his food did not rot, it remained as it is, he said maybe a day or part of a day. Then he was told that he was in that case as dead person for 100 years. Allah showed him how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revives the dead by seeing by his own eyes his decayed donkey bones getting restructured, covered with flesh, the soul came back to it, and the donkey became alive again. So he saw that by his own eyes. Then he went to people and he told them he is Uzair. They couldn't believe him. They said, this person died 100 years ago. What are you talking about? Then they know a lady that was blind in a place, that she says, I know if he is Uzair or not. So he went to her, and when he went to her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned her sight to her. She was a very old lady. And she told him, yes, this is the righteous person, Uzair. He started telling them the Torah from his own memorization, off by heart. And they were astonished because they didn't have any copy. And he knew it off by heart. So Allah gave us examples in the Quran, real examples in real life, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrects the bodies. Same what happened with Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. When he asked Allah to see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revives the dead. Now this might be given to some slaves and might not be given to others. Like Uzair saw this, and he came after Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam anyway. Prophet Ibrahim was before him. But when Prophet Ibrahim asked Allah to see how Allah revives the dead, it wasn't out of doubt. He's a prophet, he's the second best prophet. But he wanted to see. He wanted to see, and by this, you know what type of tranquility would cast on the heart to see this? Now you believe in what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. We believe in the torture of the grave, in the enjoyment of the grave. But do you know what feeling you could have when you see the enjoyment of the grave? Now for many people it's barred from seeing this. We don't see it. in some occasions people would see the grave burning, they see fire coming out of the grave, or they see other things as well. They might hear voices of people screaming in the graves, and other things they might see as well. So when they see, you know what would happen to the heart upon seeing this? A person will be very strong in religion and will focus on the matters of the hereafter. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam asked Allah Azza wa Jal to enable him to see how Allah revives the dead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to get four different birds and to cut them into pieces and to put each piece on a separate mountain. So the head of this bird is here and his body is there, and the like. So he spread them around on the mountains. Then Allah ordered him to call them, and he called them. He saw this by his own eyes. The head of this bird went to its body. So they were reformed again as they were before, and they came flying. So he saw this. Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Muhyi, the one who revives the dead. And Allah is Al-Mumit, the one who inflicts death upon the alive ones. And Allah ends the life of those healthy and strong with death. They cannot run away from death. They cannot escape death. Death is inevitable. So as Allah said in the Quran, يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا. Even if one were to be in a fortress, you know, the fortress that is well structured with guards and the like, death will come to the one inside. It was narrated that one of the kings who was a non-believer, who knows about death, because even if you were to ask the non-believers now, they know one day they will die. There's no escape. That person, out of his foolishness, he ordered the guards to lock all the doors of the castle that he used to live in, like castle, palace he had. And he put two guards on the door of the palace and he told them, do not let anyone in. And he lived in the palace, enjoying, eating, drinking, having ladies around him, worldly pleasures. Until one day, amidst of his enjoyment, a person came inside with white clothes, and he was shocked, who let him in? Then he asked him, who are you? And who let you in? From whom did you take permission? He answered him, I'm the one who does not seek permission to get in. I'm the angel of death. I've come to take your soul out. Then that king said to him, give me a chance. I haven't done anything good in my whole life. He said, it's too late. Then as he was taking his soul out, he said to him, what are you going to take me to? He said, to hellfire that melts the skin of the face. And death was inflicted on him. So Allah is the one who is Al-Muhyi, brings to life. And Allah is Al-Mumit, the one who inflicts death on those who are alive based on the eternal will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Al-Hayy, the one who is attributed with life. And the life of Allah Azza wa Jal is not like our life. It's not made up of body and soul flesh, bones, muscles, and the like, whatever a human being would have. No, the life of Allah is not like the life of mankind or jinn or angels. Allah's life is in no way similar to our life. Allah Ta'ala said, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. So Allah is al-hayy, the one who is alive, but with an eternal and everlasting life that does not resemble the life of the creations. Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, may Allah raise his rank, said, whoever ascribes to Allah any of the characteristics of the creation blasphemes. The one who ascribes to Allah any of the characteristics of the creations blasphemes. Now, having a body and soul and organs, limbs and the like, these are amongst the characteristics of the creations. So whoever ascribes to Allah any of the characteristics of the creations blasphemes. And when Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi mentioned this in his book known as Al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah, and he was a prominent scholar amongst the Salaf, he said at the beginning of his treatise that he authored, this is the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is the belief of the Prophet. This is the belief of the companions. This is the belief of the followers and the followers of the followers. That's the belief of the Salaf. That's the belief of the Khalaf. This is the belief of all Muslims. This is the belief of the prophets. This is the belief of the angels. That Allah is not a body. That whoever ascribes to Allah any of the characteristics of the creations blasphemes. He mentioned that in his book known as Al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah. So that's the benefit. When you learn about the perfect names of Allah, you know about the correct belief. You know Allah is alive, and that his life is not like our life. Our life has a beginning and has an end. The life of Allah is without a beginning and without an end, and is in no way similar to the life of the creations. Allah is Al-Qayyum. Al-Qayyum has many meanings. One of the meanings of Al-Qayyum is that the one who is everlasting, doesn't perish, doesn't annihilate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everlasting. Also amongst the meanings of Al-Qayyum is that the one who does not need the creations, doesn't need others, and everything else is in need of Allah azza wa jalla. Also it means the one who controls and manages by his will the matters of the creations. So every movement occurs by the will of Allah. See, when a leaf of a tree falls off a tree, it's by the will of Allah. As Allah said, وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. That leaf that falls off a tree, it falls off by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. The waves of the ocean and the sea is by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah is al-wajid, meaning the one who does not need others. Al-Majid, the one with the ultimate greatness, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the ultimate generosity as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attributed with the highest rank in greatness, and Allah is the most generous, the most great, and the most generous. And that's the meaning of Allahu Akbar. See, when you say Allahu Akbar, Akbar is not in size, meaning Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest. That's the meaning of it. And Allah is the most generous as well. So that's the meaning of Al-Majid amongst the names of Allah. Allah is Al-Wahid, meaning one without a partner in Godhood, because Allah is the only creator. So Allah doesn't have a partner. No one creates in the context of bringing from the state of non-existence into the state of existence except Allah. No angel creates. nor angel creates, nor prophet creates, nor human being creates. The nature does not create. So Allah is the only creator. Allah said in the Quran, هَلْ مِنْ خَالِقٍ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ, meaning there is no creator except Allah Azza wa Jal. A human being cannot create a wing of a mosquito, a wing of a fly. He cannot create it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only creator. Now look at a person who has kidney failure, for instance, and he needs to go for dialysis every second day to the hospital. They put a big machine, as you know, to clean his blood. His blood circulates through that big machine, trying to replace this kidney inside the body of a human being. And it doesn't do the same job. It doesn't do the same job. The kidney, with the technology they have, they cannot create a kidney. They cannot create a kidney. They cannot create anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only creator. So when we say Allah is al-wahid, meaning Allah is the only creator, in other words. Allah has no partner in Godhood, which is the power to create. Allah is the only one who creates. Allah is as-samad. As-samad, that's when you recite it in Surah Al-Ikhlas, Allahu as-samad, meaning everyone turns to Allah Azza wa Jal when he is in need, because Allah is the creator of benefits and Allah is the one who alleviates the harm. So everyone turns to Allah Azza wa Jal when he is in a calamity, when he is in need, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need anyone. If all human beings were as pious as righteous as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah wouldn't get benefited by them, by their worship. And if all of them were to be as evil as Satan, they wouldn't inflict harm on Allah azza wa jal. So the one who obeys Allah benefits himself, and the one who disobeys Allah harms himself. Allah Ta'ala is Al-Qadir and Al-Muqtadir. Al-Qadir, nothing debilitates Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Nothing stops Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala from fulfilling His will. Nothing can obstruct the will of Allah Azza wa Jal from being fulfilled. No one can delay what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will to happen from happening at the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for it to happen. So this could happen to any one of us at any time. That's based on the will of Allah azza wa jal, when Allah willed for us to die. So no one can stop death from taking place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qadir. Nothing obstructs the will of Allah from taking place, from being fulfilled. And Allah is Al-Muqtadir. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for it to exist, it will come into existence by the will and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is Al-Muqtadir. We ask Allah Ta'ala to benefit us with the knowledge we have acquired and to increase our knowledge. Ameen. And Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah and make salah on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.